Thank you for joining us for the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. On the first week of each month, the Mormon Channel presents quotes and insights on the Relief Society visiting teaching message. This month, the message is entitled, The History and Heritage of Relief Society. The Relief Society of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was organized in Nauvoo, Illinois, on March 17, 1842. On that day, 20 women assembled under the direction of Prophet Joseph Smith and two apostles, John Taylor and Willard Richards. The small, diverse group at that first meeting were dedicated women, similar to Relief Society sisters today. The youngest were three teenagers and the oldest a woman in her 50s. 11 of the women were married, 2 were widows, 6 were unmarried, and the marital status of 1 is unknown. Their education and backgrounds varied greatly, as did their economic circumstances. Their diversity would be magnified many times as the organization's membership continued to grow, but they were and would continue to be one. When the Prophet Joseph Smith organized the Relief Society, he taught that this organization was part of the Restoration and was organized for the relief of the poor, the destitute, the widow, and the orphan. He explained that although the name Relief Society may be of modern date, the institution is of ancient origin. Elder Dallin H. Oaks expounds on the organization of the Relief Society.
In the initial meetings of Relief Society, the Prophet Joseph Smith taught that the society is not only to relieve the poor, but to save souls. A later First Presidency explained, quote, "One of the purposes of the organization of the Relief Society was that a system might be inaugurated by which study of religious subjects or church doctrine and government might be pursued by women. The administration of charity under the direction of the bishopric was to be part of their active work, but this was not intended to absorb their activities to the exclusion of the development of faith and the advancement of women in literary, social, and domestic activities of life." End of quote. In a revelation given in 1830, the Lord told Emma Smith that the prophet would authorize her to expound scriptures and to exhort the church according as it shall be given thee by my Spirit. When she was later selected to lead the Relief Society, her prophet husband referred to this revelation that she would expound the scriptures to all and teach the female part of the community. He declared that not she alone, but others may attain to the same blessings. End of quote.
In the months following, the organization met together often to search out and help feed, clothe, and house the needy. Elizabeth Ann Whitney, a counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency, praised the sisters who were uniting their faith with their works. And when Treasurer Elvira A. Holmes later reported their year's donations, she said that much good had been done and the hearts of many made to rejoice. The women of Nauvoo also strengthened each other spiritually. Elizabeth Ann Whitney said, "I rejoiced that we could enjoy the privilege of associating together to converse on things of the kingdom, to comfort and edify each other." Membership grew from an initial group of 20 in March 1842 to about 1,300 members over the next 2 years. You're listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program on the January visiting teaching message, The History and Heritage of Relief Society. In the General Relief Society meeting on September 25, 2010, Sister Julie B. Beck taught of the importance of studying and applying the history of Relief Society. She announced that a history of Relief Society will be published in 2011.
The preparation of the history has been an inspired and revelatory experience. As we have studied the history of Relief Society, we have learned that the Lord's vision and purpose for Relief Society was not of a sleepy meeting on Sunday. He had something much, much bigger in mind than special interest entertainment group or women's club. He intended Relief Society to help build his people and prepare them for the blessings of the temple. He established this organization to align his daughters with his work and to enlist their help in building his kingdom and strengthening the homes of Zion.
Sister Beck explains why the history of Relief Society is important.
We study our history to learn who we are. There is a worldwide hunger among good women to know their identity, value, and importance. Studying and applying the history of Relief Society gives definition and expression to who we are as disciples and followers of our Savior Jesus Christ. The history of Relief Society teaches us that our Heavenly Father knows His daughters. He loves them. He has given them specific responsibilities, and He has spoken to and guided them during their mortal missions. Additionally, the history of Relief Society elevates and validates the standing of women and demonstrates how they work in companionship with faithful priesthood leaders. We study our history to learn what we are to do. Through our history, we learn how to prepare for the blessings of eternal life. The history of Relief Society teaches us to take care of the essential things which will save and sanctify us, and the things which are necessary to make us personally self-reliant and useful in the Lord's kingdom. We study our history because it unites faithful women. The history of Relief Society is a spirit-filled story of strong, faithful, purposeful women. We study our history because it helps us change. Ultimately, the value of history is not so much in its dates, times, and places. It is valuable as it teaches us the principles, purposes, and patterns we are to follow, and it helps us know who we are, what we are to do, and unites us in strengthening the homes of Zion and building the kingdom of God on the earth. Relief Society, when it operates in an inspired way, can replace fear, doubt, and selfishness with faith, hope, and charity.
Shalise Johnson is a mother of two young boys in Omaha, Nebraska. She feels it is important to know the beginnings of Relief Society. She has just recently been learning about the history of Relief Society, and she has felt her testimony grow.
I found out that it's by looking in the past and seeing what those earlier sisters did, that can show us who we need to be, things that we can work on to become who our Heavenly Father wants us to be, and how Relief Society as a whole, all of the individual little aspects, help us to become better and help us to learn to love more and to serve more, and that we can look to those examples and learn from them and just become stronger and become better.
Brittany Paulson from Temple, Texas, says the history of Relief Society helps her understand her purpose.
It's important to know what we're a part of and why we are here, why we come to this meeting and what our purpose is here on the earth, because it is part of the restoration of the gospel. It's part of the church. I think it can strengthen my testimony of not only of Relief Society, but of the gospel and the importance of women and how God views us and why we are here.
Mary Allender says learning about the history helps focus and simplify the purpose of Relief Society.
I believe that learning the history is good because it helps me to understand some of the more fundamental things, I think, that are kind of lost in the everyday doctrine and in the Relief Society moments that we have, and to be able to step back and say, what really was the purpose? What did Emma have in mind? What did the sisters have in mind when they gathered at the store? It helps to simplify things a little bit. I'm not a great scholar of the history of Relief Society, but every time I hear a new fact or a new story, it brings back those fundamental ideas of empowerment and also love and humility.
She adds that learning about the history helps us realize how far we have come and the power and responsibility we have as Relief Society sisters.
It was very interesting to me when Sister Beck said, we learn about our history so that we can change. And I kind of see that Relief Society today, when you look at, the millions of women out there versus those few small women in the storehouse, we have such an opportunity to change things just because we choose to act charitably. It gave me such respect and gratitude for very courageous women who, in a very tumultuous time, realized the power that women could have in this church and therefore in the world. I kind of step back and realize that anything that I choose to do, I do with the backing of almost hundreds of years of women who have chosen to choose the right.
Chelsea Doxey says she has been blessed by Relief Society because of the valiant women who have gone before her.
I have a long heritage of Relief Society sisters in my family. I come from pioneer stock, so I have a lot of grandmothers and aunts, and my own mother have provided great examples of living righteous lives and abundant lives. And I have been blessed by Relief Society in every way, I think, because when I think of women in the church, I think of their great service to others and how the women in my home ward, they are so selfless and they're always asking me how I'm doing. They care about each person and you can feel their love and their smiles and the twinkle in their eyes. And I think that the older sisters provide so much with their experience and their knowledge, and the younger sisters bring some vitality, I think, to the ward. So I think women need each other and we're a great support system to families.
This month's visiting teaching message highlights the four reasons each sister should understand the history of Relief Society. First, an understanding of our history inspires us to be the women of God we need to be. By following the example of noble Latter-day Saint women, we can learn from the past how to face the future. Second, our history teaches that the same principles that existed in the early church are our foundational principles today. This knowledge and our purposes to increase faith and personal righteousness, strengthen families and homes, and help those in need, draw a connection between our past and our present. Third, as we value our history, we can better share our spiritual heritage. President Henry B. Eyring, first counselor in the First Presidency, said, "You pass the heritage along as you help others receive the gift of charity. The history of Relief Society is recorded in words and numbers, but the heritage is passed heart to heart." Finally, understanding our history helps make us an effective part of the future of Relief Society. President Spencer W. Kimball explained, "We know that women who have deep appreciation for the past will be concerned about shaping a righteous future. Our heritage is filled with the stories of faithful women who served others and helped fulfill the purpose of Relief Society." Lucy Maservey Smith, writing of her Provo Relief Society, told of their collection in behalf of the handcart pioneers caught by early snows in the mountains near South Pass in 1856.
"We did all we could with the aid of the good brethren and sisters to comfort the needy as they came in with handcarts late in the fall. They got their hands and feet badly frosted. Brother Stephen Nixon and his wife nursed and took care of them till they were better. We favored Brother and Sister Nilsson by quilting a quilt very nicely for them, as our society was short of funds then and could not do much. But the four bishops could hardly carry the bedding and other clothing we got together for the first time we met. We did not cease our exertions till all were made comfortable. When the handcart companies arrived, the desks of the seminary were loaded with provisions for them. At the session of our October conference, news came in where these handcart companies were. President Young and others were excited and anxious for fear those companies would be caught in the snow in the mountains. They could not go on with the conference. The president called for men's team's clothing and provisions, and they were soon on their way to meet the companies with President Young himself till he got into the canyon. There he took sick and was obliged to turn back. The sisters stripped off their petticoats, stockings, and everything they could spare right there in the tabernacle and piled them into the wagons to send to the saints in the mountains. On the plains, the snow was fast falling, and the saints were just piling down in a heap with the idea that they must all perish, when to their great joy they discovered a light in the distance. They then took new courage, and they had everything for their comfort. I never took more satisfaction, and I might say pleasure, in any labor I performed in my life. I only had to go into a store and make my wants known. If it was cloth, it was measured off without charge. My counselors and I wallowed through the snow until our clothes were wet a foot high to get things together to give out notices. We pieced blocks, carded bats, quilted and got together, I think, 27 quilts, besides a great amount of other clothing in one winter for the needy. What comes next for willing hands to do?"
Many women helped to build and strengthen the Relief Society organization and help their fellow sisters. In the 1921 General Relief Society meeting, President Clarissa Williams expressed a need for better care for babies and their mothers. she announced a plan to establish a maternity home in Salt Lake City. Cottonwood Stake Relief Society President Amanda Bagley was inspired to get involved. She proposed that the church purchase a home and convert it to a maternity hospital that would be operated by her stake. The presiding bishopric and first presidency authorized the purchase of the Neil McMillan Home in Murray. The sisters rallied to provide funds, furnishing, and supplies for the new hospital, and in 1925 it was dedicated. Two women volunteered their nursing services for free, and many women volunteered as nurses and launderers. The 10-bed hospital was soon well-patronized and provided good care at reasonable rates. In 1926, the presiding bishopric gave Sister Bagley more money to expand the hospital to include a new delivery room, nursery, and wards. After Sister Bagley's release, other Stake Relief Society presidents managed the hospital, and thousands of mothers and babies benefited. During times of war, Relief Society sisters clung to each other. During World War II, Sister Ruth Lipke recalls feeling alone during the bleak days in Bernburg, Germany.
You can't imagine how alone we felt. We had no communication with the church, no transportation, no priesthood. We used old lesson books when we met in each other's homes.
The sisters in Bernburg pooled their scanty food and fuel so they could meet together in a warm room to study, sew for the needy, and eat a frugal meal. Latter-day Saints in bombed-out Hamburg gathered in the rubble and shared their meager supplies with those who had lost everything. Funds were raised for the Relief Society to buy material for sewing, patching, and remodeling of clothes to give to the destitute. After the German invasion, the Netherlands Mission Relief Society president Gertrude Zipro wrote to her brother in Salt Lake City and described her efforts to get to devastated Rotterdam, where two sisters and a brother lived.
I left Amsterdam on Thursday morning, the 16th of May, 1940, at about 10:30. Just then, the German troops arrived, and I have never seen such an army.
She had to travel the 60 miles by bicycle through incredible scenes of devastation because the rail lines had been destroyed and no cars or buses were available.
It took me 9 hours to go to Rotterdam. And that whole time, the German army roared by me on motorcycles, tanks, tractors, etc. It was one long chain of material they had. I could not believe my eyes. I thought to myself, if mankind needs to be destroyed with that, God's judgment is really severe. But immediately other thoughts took over. This is the work of Satan and of man himself. Even though we know that these things will happen, our prayers still plead to God that it will end soon.
Sister Zipro continued to visit the branches regularly, in spite of growing difficulties described by her son in this account of her life.
It became necessary for my mother to have identification in order for her to safely visit the various branches of the relief societies. Curfew was imposed, and many guards or sentries were posted on major thoroughfares. If you had no business in a particular area, you were stopped and searched, and many times your possessions were taken from you, such as bicycles. It became increasingly dangerous to be out at night as the occupation continued for 5 years, and many women were molested. Can you imagine my mother braving those circumstances and going out at night on her bike many times to visit another branch? No matter how she felt or what the circumstances, she would take care of her obligation. What a great woman and leader she was. There is no doubt in my mind now that she was handpicked by the Lord to be the Relief Society president at that time.
Train travel was hazardous after Allied planes began bombing German troop movements. One night, as Sister Zipro was returning home, the train she was traveling in was attacked. Her son's account continues.
The train stopped immediately and the people jumped out, including Mother. She crouched at the side of the tracks, making herself as small as possible, lying there in the cold, wet, and muddy ditch, with bullets striking all around. One can imagine her fright. I wonder if she even thought about what she had told us. Do not worry, I'll be perfectly safe.
The train was badly damaged, but Sister Zipro was unharmed. Her son remembers that the next week she traveled again to visit her Relief Society sisters.
She must have had complete trust in the Lord to go time after time under those conditions, not knowing what problems she would encounter.
As sisters in Relief Society today, we have a rich and faithful heritage. More than 165 years have passed since the Prophet Joseph Smith met with a small group in Nauvoo, Illinois, to organize the women of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We now number over 6 million Relief Society sisters in 180 countries across the earth.
Like those who preceded us, we stand today united in faith, steadfast in following the living prophet, and committed to building the kingdom of God. Sister Beck has said, "As we move the Lord's work forward, the history of Relief Society will continue to be written by faithful sisters throughout the world." For this reason, the Relief Society General Presidency encourages you to record what is happening in your life. Though you might not feel that you're making history, sisters around the world can learn from you and your personal experiences. Consider recording a visiting teaching experience, how faith and personal righteousness is being increased, how your home and family is being strengthened, or how the poor and the needy are being sought out and blessed. The organization of the Relief Society was divinely inspired, and it blesses the lives of many around the world. Elder Boyd K. Packer illustrates how unique the Relief Society organization is and the responsibility sisters have.
As I followed the history of your great organization, I came across a message to the Relief Society from the first presidency of the church, sent to them on the occasion of their centennial. Here is their message. We ask our sisters of the Relief Society never to forget that they are a unique organization in the whole world, for they were organized under the inspiration of the Lord. No other woman's organization in all the earth has had such a birth. This divinely inspired origin brings with it corresponding responsibility in consecration to service and in the loftiest loyalty to the priesthood of God and to one another. The members should permit neither hostile nor competitive interests of any kind to detract from their duties. I repeat, the members should permit neither hostile nor competitive matters of any kind to detract from their duties and obligations, the privileges and honors, the opportunities and achievements of membership in this great society. The prime, almost the exclusive allegiance of every member of this great group runs to their fellow members and to the organization. Members should permit no other affiliation either to interrupt or to interfere with the work of the Relief Society. They should give to Relief Society service precedence over all social and other clubs and societies of similar kinds. We urge this because in the work of the Relief Society are the intellectual, cultural, and spiritual values found in no other organization sufficient for all general needs of its members. We urge all sisters to take these things to heart and to cooperate in continuing the Relief Society in its position of the greatest, the most efficient women's organization in the world.
Thank you for joining us for the Mormon Channel Relief Society program and our discussion of the January visiting teaching message, The History and Heritage of Relief Society. For more information on this program or for a link to the text of the visiting teaching message, visit radio.lds.org. Thanks for listening.